Welcome to the Sunday Night There Is a Solution newcomer and returning members meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. This meeting is being recorded, so you may visit our website at oaontario.org, where you'll find this audio recording, additional podcasts, and a place to donate to keep this special service active. The link will be posted in the chat. The opinions expressed are those of individual OA members and do not represent OA as a whole. Our speaker today is a compulsive overeater, a member who has at least 6 months of abstinence, has recovered through the directions in the Big Book, and maintains recovery on a daily basis. After the share, there will be time to make a comment or ask a question about the OA program or what the speaker has shared. And I am delighted to welcome Betty Jean M, a compulsive overeater from Connecticut.
Hi, thank you. How much time
You
do I have?
have 30 minutes.
Okay, great. Hi, I'm Betty Jean, and I am recovering from compulsive overeating in Connecticut. But it is so nice to be in Canada tonight with all of you. That's wonderful. I'm a compulsive overeater. It was in my DNA, as it was for my mother and my grandmother before her. My grandmother used to hide candy bars from her 10 children. I think my mother was probably the kid who found it. And growing up, I had a wonderful family. Much like Bill B said, he had a wonderful family. I was very fortunate in my circumstances. My parents were both children of the Depression. My mother was one of 10 children. She had a brother who was blind. My father, very working class, and everyone struggling there. And he had a sister with polio. Because of the circumstances in life, my parents developed a philosophy of get over it, move on. You want something to cry about? I'll give you something to cry about. I loved them. They loved me. And they were really good parents. They both experienced lack. So food was really important. Wasting food was a sin. So it was very normal in my house for you to eat off someone else's plate because the food couldn't be wasted. I was obsessed with food from a very early age. However, I was able to keep my weight normal because of my activity level. If even going into my teenage years, I started to diet when I was in junior high school. And when I look at pictures of myself then, I realized I wasn't overweight, but I was dieting. When I went, got through high school and I got through college, and the disease hadn't quite taken hold yet, but it was. And it was becoming more and more of an obsession and taking up more and more of my life. I remember when I was 28, not being able to lose the weight. And I remember saying to people, I don't know what's wrong with me. I can't lose weight anymore. I'm having such a hard time. Well, I was eating exactly the same way I always did. My metabolism just quit on me, just said, no, you're not going to be able to run around the block and do any of the stuff that used to work. I began in my 30s, I began to really spiral downward and eat more and more, more of my time devoting to eating and becoming much more isolated. If you called me up and said, do you want to get together this weekend? I'd say, oh no, I'm sorry. I already made plans. That wasn't true. The truth was, I was going to spend the weekend eating. I would go to a fast food drive-through probably three times a day over the weekend. I was so excited on Fridays when work was over. Everybody was excited, but I was excited to go home and eat. The kids at McDonald's started to know me, and they'd be like, hi, how are you today? And I remember one time this young man saying, hey, we've got this new thing. It's like a frequent buyer card. And the more you buy, the more money you can save. So you'll save a lot of money. And I thought, oh my God, they're trying to help me. My friends are in the drive-through line. I tried every single pay and way. They all worked for a week or a month. They all worked for as long as I could restrain myself. And that became a shorter and shorter time. Then at one point I went to a diet doctor, a legitimate doctor in an office, and he gave me diet pills. That's also called amphetamines. I lost a lot of weight. I got a lot of housework done. I didn't sleep. Bill describes his drinking. It's getting worse and worse and going from bar to bar. For me, it was going from drive-through to drive-through. One time I had gone to a convenience store, bought a bunch of food, and I had it on the front passenger seat. And I was driving home and eating, of course. A lot of my eating took place in the car, and a lot of it took place in front of the television. I saw flashing blue lights and I pulled over, and a police officer came out and said, "Are you on your phone?" And I said, "No." And he said, "Well, you're driving very erratically. You've gone over the white line several times." And I said, "I'm sorry, I'm not on my phone and I don't drink. I'll pay more attention." I was embarrassed to tears because this man standing next to my car could see into my car, and my car looked like a dumpster. It was full of food wrappers, the white bags for the drive-through, some cardboard containers, candy wrappers, all that stuff was in the back seat, on the passenger seat. I was just mortified. If you're in this program, you've had a healthy dose of humiliation in your life. And I did, and I felt like prey. People would come up to me, family, friends, and total strangers, and offered me advice on losing weight. One time I was in this big mall near my house, and it was Christmas time, it was very crowded, and a woman ran up to me and said, "I've just got to tell you about my sister. My sister went to Weight Watchers and she lost 100 pounds and she looks great." Again, I was just mortified. I didn't know who this woman was. I didn't know who had overheard. I was thinking, how can I get out of this mall? How can I get out of here? And backing away from her. And that kept happening. And there were lots of other warnings. The food took over and over. It constantly took over my life. Every weekend was a bender. Every Monday morning, I began a diet. Every Tuesday, I was jonesing for food. I was starving on Tuesday. On Wednesday, I was back in the food. Thursday, I couldn't start a diet on Thursday because you have to wait to the next Monday. You can never start a diet in the middle of the week. And I knew the weekend was coming up. I would wake up on a Monday morning and I would have like food wrappers stuck to me. I would usually wake up on the couch where I'd fallen asleep. I would stagger to the shower, to the bathroom, take a shower. It was just like someone who was hungover on alcohol or drugs. One time I went into work and my coworker said, What is wrong?" And I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Your eyes are swollen. They're almost shut." And I had consumed so much sodium over the weekend that like my hands and my feet and my eyes were swollen. And I said to her, "Oh, it's I have these seasonal allergies." I lied to everyone all the time. I lied to myself. I thought I was fooling everyone. I thought I was hiding. My closet went from 8 to 20. I dressed only in one part of it. I hung on to clothes in hopes that I would someday fit into them. I bought and wore whatever would fit me. Shopping was an absolute nightmare. What happened? My medical condition got worse and worse. This is a progressive disease. My doctors were really upset and angry. And saying to me, they were showing me blood tests. They were showing me results and saying, "You're in trouble. This is really bad." One doctor said to me, "You're going to have a heart attack. You're going to be back here at this hospital with a heart attack unless you lose 50 pounds." And I said, "Okay." Every single time I said, "Okay." Every single time they said, "You just need more willpower. That's all. You just need to find a diet that works for you." I was in such denial. I just ignored whatever they said. I got sent to more doctors, to specialists, and to dietitians and nutritionists. I remember one nutritionist who thought she was working with a normal person. She said to me that I could have a little bit of chocolate every day because chocolate is an antioxidant. She said, "There are these small chocolate bars, they're called Fun Size, and they come in a big bag." And I was out of her office speeding to Target, and I picked up a bag. And I polished off the bag in probably a day and a half. And they were fun. Another dietitian said, "You can have a cheat day." The cheat day lasted 30 years. So all of these people, very well informed, very intelligent, but they didn't understand they were working with an addict. I am first and foremost a con artist. And I can lie more convincingly than another person can tell the truth. Really, I can. So I kept going to doctors. I was diagnosed as a type 2 diabetic. I started taking medication. I was so miserable. My life was the very meaning of unmanageability. I was spiraling downwards in every area of my life, and the food kept saying, "All you need is me, no one else. Don't listen to anyone else. I'm here for you." And my life became very, very small. So what happened is one night in the middle of the night at 3 in the morning, I went to the hospital in an ambulance, and they said, "We're going to have to do a procedure on your heart. We're going to put some stents in your heart." And I said, "Okay." And I had a terrible blockage, and they did the procedure, and again, I was laying there on the table saying, I'm never going to do this again. I'm going to change. This is it. This is it. I'm going to change." And I would like to say to you that that is when the light bulb went off and I changed, except I didn't. I went back to the hospital 4 more times and had 5 stents put in my heart. I had all these doctor's appointments, and one of those appointments, I crossed paths with a medical provider, a physician's assistant, who told me about OA, and I didn't know about OA. He gave me a piece of paper. He said, "Go to this meeting." And I knew I had to because he wasn't going to let up. And I had to see him again. And I really liked this man. He treated me with respect. He was my Evie Thatcher. So I went to the meeting, that first meeting, and that changed everything. My life has a before and after line in it, before OA and afterwards. That first meeting, I felt seen and heard and accepted for the first time ever. For the first time anywhere. I loved my family, but they didn't understand me. And they loved me very much, but they just don't get it. Nor did most people in my life. But sitting in that room, I heard other people tell my story, and I heard them speaking honestly. I practically floated out of there. They said, "Keep coming back." And that's what I did. I kept coming back every week to that Saturday meeting. And I found a few other meetings that I went to in person. This was in the year 2020. It was February 1st when I started. On March 17th, we went into shutdown and all of the meetings closed. And I thought, my life's over. This is it. What am I going to do? And we went on Zoom, and Zoom tremendously increased my recovery and my life, and it increased my spiritual experience. I met more people. I talked to more people. They each told me their story and what worked for them. I love Zoom. I love being able to just be in my home. I was in this program. I was in this program for 4 years and not abstinent. I didn't have the basic requirement to be in this program because I really didn't want to stop eating compulsively. I wanted to continue eating compulsively but lose weight. And I thought that OA might help me do that. I would hear people come into meetings and say, "At my first meeting, I was struck abstinent." And I'd think, "Why not me? Why am I not being struck abstinent like these other people? I'm here, I'm waiting in line." I had a sponsor. I worked the steps. I was doing everything that I was told to do. And I'm not really sure what made me turn the corner 2 years ago, but I did get recovery, and it's been fantastic. It's my life is so much better. It's hard to even explain. When I first came into this program, I didn't understand it. I didn't understand what I called the secret language of OA. People were talking about rooms. I didn't know where they were. I didn't particularly like the big book because it talked about stockbrokers in the 1950s, about all these men and their dutiful wives. And I just couldn't relate to it. So I started going to speaker meetings. I went to a speaker meeting that was on Zoom every single night. And that really, really helped me a lot. So whenever someone asked me to speak, I always do. And when someone was speaking, I could relate to their story of how their life was and then how they turned things around. I volunteered to do service by being a speaker, the person who gets the speakers. And that way, I would call these people and talk to them and sort of interview them over the phone and get to know their story and get to know them. And by doing that, I was increasing my spiritual life. I was born and raised in a very traditional religion, which I'm very grateful for. I'm still a part of that religion. But this program has so deepened my spiritual life. It's deeper, it's wider, it's so much better. And I've known from the time I was a very young child that there was a higher power. But this program, it's like before I was living a black and white movie, and now it's in Technicolor. Now I can see higher power everywhere. When I first came into this program, people came up to me and said, it's not about the food. And I thought, maybe not for you, but it really is for me. And I'm here for a pant size, nothing else. But the program hooked me. It brought me in. Every day I felt more acceptance. Every day I was able to forgive myself more. It took me 10 months to get a sponsor because I didn't want to work the steps. I didn't want to have to make amends. I felt like I'm not apologizing to anyone. I'm not going to do that. But I did. And again, it was a very positive experience. I thought it was going to be really bad, but it was really wonderful. I would, have a few months. At first, I would have like a few days or a few months of recovery, and then I'd fall back into the addiction. And that was really awful and painful. But people in the program said, like, yeah, that's okay. It's okay. Just keep coming back. And I think that's the best advice I can give anyone. Just keep coming back. What my life is like now, it's about a million times better. It's hard to describe in words because it's their spiritual, emotional feelings. You can believe anything you want. You just have to recognize a power greater than yourself. For me, if I don't recognize that there's a God, I'm going to start behaving like thinking I'm God and behaving like I am. I spent a lot of time, really trying to control my life and everyone else's around me, and that never ever worked. I go to a meeting every morning that I get up really early because I'm an early bird, and I get up and I do readings. I have a few daily readers, and I also read. Like right now, I have a notebook in front of me, and when I go on a meeting, I'll take notes, I'll write things down. I'll also write down the names and phone numbers of people in the meeting that I want to contact. I make three phone calls a day. Before I came on here about an hour ago, I was talking to a fellow in OA. When I was in the food, I was so incredibly isolated. I never realized how alone I was. Now I have great friends, close friends, real friendships, and real meaningful friendships. And I ask my higher power every single day, lead me today. Show me what you want me to do, who you want me to be. Put in front of me who you would like me to help. I have to remember all the time, wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, that I have to remember who I represent. What I do for God. And I have to ask myself, if God is love, how would love handle this situation? My life is not perfect. Things still happen. There are times that are very stressful, but now I'm not alone. When something happens, now I can reach out and call someone and say, this happened, that happened. It was so upsetting, but I didn't eat over it. There have been many miracles, and I feel the presence of higher power all the time. And I work every day on maintaining that closeness. One time, recently, I had to go get a blood test, and I don't like blood tests. And I was talking to higher power on my way to the blood draw, and I said, I don't like this. Please help me to not shake. I got in the blood draw, and there was this big burly guy with tattoos and piercings. And I said to him, "I'm really nervous, and I'm going to try to calm down. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to read all your tattoos. Is that okay?" He said, "Sure." So I got him, and I said, "Well, I can't see that tattoo, the one on your bicep, the big one." And he said, "That's the Serenity Prayer." And I said, "Well, I don't have to read that, because I know that by heart." And so the two of us started saying the Serenity Prayer together. I could never have arranged that. And that's what I needed. Our higher power wants to be in every single aspect of our life, from the biggest to the smallest, every single detail of our life, he wants to be in. And just be willing, open that door and let your higher power in and take over. It was really hard for me to say that I was powerless because that felt like I was giving up. It was hard for me to surrender. That too felt like, oh, I'm just giving up. I'm surrendering. Surrendering was letting go. And I had been holding on really tight to everything in my life and to everyone in my life and driving them all crazy and driving them all away from me. I found myself very, very alone before I came to this program. And everything has changed now. Everything's better. This is a really simple program. It's not easy, but it's simple. It's a simple program for complicated people. It's our only way out. Right now, Americans are heavier than we've ever been, more addicted, and more in debt. So we need these 12 steps. This disease is just taking over America and probably Canada too. We need especially to spread the news of this program existence because people don't know about us. They know about AA, they don't know about OA. When I do outreach events, I tell people, I don't need anything from you. I don't know your name or your email or your last name. We don't require any of that. And I say to them, there's no cost. And people are shocked at that because a lot of people are still going to pay in ways that have become so expensive. Insurance companies are now paying for part of them. I'd like to read, I go to college campuses in different places and explain to people about the program. And I say, you can make this what you want. Yeah, there are 12 steps, but you don't have to follow any rigid belief system. You don't have to follow any rigid diet or food plan. You work on this, you work, but you don't do it alone. You do it with other people who are here to help you. Right now, I feel like my life, like I'm on a surfboard and I'm in the water. And the only way I can get to shore is when those waves go up and down. That's what moves me forward. If the waves stay flat, I don't go anywhere. And it takes a lot of balance to stay on that surfboard. And that's what I try to do all the time. I try to create balance in my life. And it's so different now. You know, in the past, I used to get love letters from the Pillsbury Baking Company. I would open my email and they will have sent me their latest product, a recipe for it, and then a coupon. Now my emails, my voicemail messages are full of people from program who are steering me away from all that advertising, all that stuff that had me so addicted. I was addicted for food, but I was also addicted to self-reliance and to comfort. You know, my parents said, you've got to be strong, you've got to be independent, you got to stand on your own 2 feet. And that was all good advice. But I used that to isolate and to hide. My food was mostly about hiding. And the bigger I got, the more I thought people couldn't see me. In the wintertime, I looked like the Michelin tire man. I wore mostly sweats and layers to cover up and to hide what was going on. Higher power, I feel like, is asking me not to try harder, but just to trust harder. And that's the challenge always. That's the challenge to let go and to really propel myself forward in trust, knowing that there's that safety net underneath me, knowing that higher power has this. I don't. But higher power does. In every situation I've been in my life since coming into this program, God has had a better idea than I ever did. I was a planner. I was a list maker. I tried to figure out a way out all the time, and I failed miserably every time. And every time I failed, it was worse. I got a phone call and I recognized the number as a cardiologist's office. And I thought, oh no. And I picked up the phone and he said, I just wanted to talk to you about your test results. They're really good. Your triglycerides are low. Your cholesterol is lower than it's ever been. Your A1C even went lower. And when I first came into this program, my A1C was 11 and it's now 5. My cholesterol, which was well over 200, is now 68. All of my numbers are going in the right direction. So my doctor was telling me this and he said, oh, wait a minute. wait a minute, let me just check and make sure this is your name on the paper here. And I get it. I was the worst patient in the world. You got to check and make sure it's my numbers. But it was my numbers, all of them. I am thinner now than when I was taking those diet pills. I am healthier. I weigh less now. My cholesterol is lower now. My blood pressure is lower now than it was 30 years ago. They say you can't get younger, but I feel like I'm getting a lot healthier. And that's it. It's not the number on the scale. It's I'm moving towards health. And my doctor said to me at the end of the conversation, well, what I want to tell you is just keep up the good work. You know, when a doctor has ever said that to me, never. This was the first time. And I owe it all to this program. I tried everything else in the world before. I'm positive I did everything you did. I did some really dangerous things. Because as far as I could go one way, I could go the other. So glad to be here with you all tonight. If you're new to this program, keep coming back. It works. I promise. Keep coming back. It works. And I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Betty Jean M.